Smarties, today we are excited to share an episode that aired several years ago. So many years, in fact, that I'm not even sure what year it aired in. But it's about why you should do educational therapy over the summer, how it can be meaningful, but also if you are already in educational therapy, why you should continue it over the summer.
And perhaps ramp up.
Perfect time to release the pressure valve a little bit.
Yeah.
And really focus on some skills.
Some skills and some fun.
Yeah, it's such an opportunity for fun.
Mm-hmm.
At CAP Educational Therapy Group, we are actually offering summer intensives this summer, which are 4 days in a row of sessions. You'll be matched with clinician based off their availability and what they're working on. You do not have to be a current client to participate. And all of those offerings will be sent out in the email that you should have gotten in your inbox this morning. So if you're not on our email list, go ahead and go to www.learnsmarterpodcast.com and sign up for our email list to keep in touch with us.
Yeah, that sounds good. So if you are thinking about educational therapy and you've been putting it off, please start. And if it is something that you're currently doing, please consider making the fall better for everybody involved by continuing over the summer. So take a listen to this episode and let us know if you have any questions.
We'll talk soon.
You want to learn faster, but sometimes working harder is just not the answer. You have to learn smarter. The Educational Therapy Podcast.
Hi, Smarties. Welcome to episode 56 of Learn Smarter, the Educational Therapy Podcast. I'm Stephanie Pitts.
And I'm Rachel Kapp.
And it's summertime.
Woo! Before we get into that stuff, I have to ask you, what's with the hair twirling?
I don't know.
It's super out of character for you. So guys, we can always see each other when we're recording. And as I was doing the whole opening, she's sitting there like twirling that hair around. I'm like, what is happening? I don't think I've ever seen you do that.
I don't think I do it very often.
No. Are you having feelings? Are you feeling anxious? Okay.
Maybe.
All right. Anyway, Steph, now that we've given the behind the scenes look of everything and me questioning your behavior right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, you stopped. Did I shame you? I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay.
Okay. What are your plans for summer? Oh, for heaven's sake. So, Steph, what's your summer plan this summer? What's going on with you?
I want to take a trip, but I haven't planned it all yet. But I think I'm going to go visit some friends in some various places.
This is so much better than last summer's plan of having surgery.
So much better. So much better. I know. I remember I was feeling really anxious up until that surgery. So that's
for
over.
Months.
Yeah.
For months. It was
for sure. You know, that's definitely on the list and we'll see what else happens. Yeah. What about you?
Well, so we're having the year of travel over here.
Mm-hmm.
And so in March, we went to Spain and France and visited my cousin who's studying abroad. And so the plan was always we were going to go to Europe and we are going to go to Japan in October, visit another friend. We've been trying to get to Japan for like probably 4 years. So that's definitely going to happen. And of course, me being me, I have to sneak in another vacation somehow. So it's in discussion. To go and do 5 or 6 days in Mexico. Adam he works production, so there's often not long breaks, especially when they're shooting episodes. But for whatever reason, there's like 5 or 6 days off in the middle of the season. So I'm planning to take advantage of that. We had a whole thing this week, didn't we, Steph, about me updating my passport.
Yeah.
That was a whole project. I got everybody involved in that because I'm changing my last name personally. I'll still be Rachel Kapp professionally. You guys, it's so hard to change your last name. Your name is on so much and there's like an order to how to, it's just a real pain.
Oh yeah. I think any of my friends who've actually changed their name all complain about it.
And the woman has to do it. Don't get me wrong. Like when I was deciding whether or not to change my name, like, Steph, how often did we talk about it? Like, it wasn't like ever a given that I was going to do it. And there was a moment where I turned to Adam. I'm like, why don't you change your name? Like, we'll both just be Cap. And he was like, no. So anyway, so waiting for my passport to come back and then got to change my ID. You guys, it's a whole long list, but luckily, so like 6 months before we got married, I got this email from my sister-in-law where she'd like, step by step, this is what you do and this is what you need and this is what you need to have and this is the order you do it all in. And I was like, oh my gosh, she like documented all of this for like multiple people. There were multiple people on that email, but I was just like, oh my God, she saved me so much research. So love you, Melanie.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. So anyway, so we're going to try to get to Mexico. I'm going to try to finish changing my last name. And I think the problem is I'm doing it really slow. So last year we went with my best friend and her husband and kid. Adam was working and couldn't go. So Steph came with us to the Hollywood Bowl. My friend's son really wanted to see John Williams because, you know, that's the wish of every 2.5-year-old is to see John Williams live. And he was just waiting so patiently for Star Wars to come on. He was so patient.
He really was.
Yeah. He has talked about it ever since. And we're talking about going again. And Adam's going to come this time.
Nice.
And I think our other friends are coming too. It's going to be a big group, but basically we're all going because he's 3.5 now and wants to go again. But he was like, Ocho, because he calls me Ocho. Is Stephanie coming? Stephanie's going to come to John Williams? And I'm like, I'm on it, kid. So he's been asking for, I mean, that's kind of how kids are, right?
Like, so cute.
Yeah. So Steph said yes.
Yep. So we'll go.
And then we got to make Vegas happen again.
Yes.
Last year, Steph had a free hotel before her surgery. She's like, I want to use this free hotel and I want to use it in Vegas and I want to go for 24 hours. So we did.
We did. Right before my surgery, the day before, guys.
Yeah.
So fun.
And let me just say, it was brilliant for us to like use your free hotel at the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Because we could have picked whatever. And we got massages. It was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
So we got to do 24 hours in Vegas is like the perfect amount of time too. So
it really was good. Anyway, back to the episode.
All right, Steph. So the title of this episode is why you should do educational therapy over the summer. So why should you?
Yeah, I was thinking last year we did what to do with your child over the summer.
Episode 9.
And this one is why you should do educational therapy over the summer. Mm-hmm. Because I think we really wanted to get into what educational therapy can do in the summer, which is different from during the school year.
Yes.
It's so hard during the school year. All the things are happening. You're doing all the activities. There's a lot of pressure. You guys are stressed as parents. And the teachers are stressed because they're cramming in all this information before testing, you know, just all the things basically, right? Mm-hmm. And when you get to the end of the school year, kids are so burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And what's magical about doing educational therapy over the summer is that there isn't the pressure of school. So you can do a lot of things in that time period, and it's going to be very different from the rest of the school year.
The vibe over the summer in our offices, I think we dress more relaxed over the summer.
Yeah.
Kids aren't feeling the pressure. If you go back to episode, I think 37, when we talked about how educational therapy works, in the first phase of educational therapy, which is the assessment phase, the image at the bottom of that logo, of that framework that we created, is the fire is burning.
Yes.
Over the summer. And then in the second, the fire isn't burning anymore in the building phase of ed therapy. And then in the third phase, which is the competency phase of ed therapy, it's like a luscious forest. Mm-hmm. You guys, there's no burning fires over the summer.
No.
You
it's
can
so
go
nice.
Directly to building that luscious forest, so to speak, and getting kids to the point where they are going to start off the year with much more independence and autonomy than they did the previous year. It's a time to skill build without the pressure of like a deadline set by the teacher.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that I love about doing it over the summer is that we're doing remediation and we can do it in chunks. And instead of using schoolwork to remediate,
we get to pick.
We get to pick our own curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what makes it so fun. So last summer, I did a board game with a kid, and his goals were working on reading, executive functioning, writing. It had all the pieces of planning out this board game, and we played it. We probably play it once a month, maybe once every other month still since then. Every once in a while, he said, I want to play my game, and he'll pull out all the pieces. And I had a kid plan a trip last summer, and she was working on math and executive functioning and all of that. And so I think those kinds of assignments are really fun for me because I really like being able to spark a little joy in what the kids want and how they want to learn. It's fun for them too. They come in and get excited to, you know, pull out their stuff the minute they walk in to work on whatever it is we're working on. And that's so fun. I love that.
I love the schedule of summer. So usually we mostly see clients from like 2:30 on in the day, which is great because for me, I'm not a morning person. My joke is I don't function before 11. And
that's only a half joke, guys.
We don't record before 11. I don't do meetings before 11. That's kind of the luxury of this life that I have going right now. And I'm well aware of it because when my friends are at work and I'm like, I'm still in pajamas, it's, you know.
Yeah. Or you have kids.
Or they have kids. And yeah.
Yeah.
So we're pretty like, we're meeting this kid at this time on this day. And over the summer, because kids are coming in and out, they're doing different things. They're going on trips. They're at camps. We can go 3 weeks without seeing a kid and then see them for a week, and we get so much done in that week. It's fun for me because every day is really different, and I like it. I also work fewer days. I cram more into fewer days because Adam and I have decided that Mondays are going to be beach Mondays because he gets a lot of Mondays off in his production schedule, and nobody's at the beach on Mondays. So it's more fluid for us too, and not having that pressure. But a big part of our job is communicating with other professionals on the team. There's no one to communicate with over the summer, right?
Yeah, it's a lot less.
It alleviates that kind of energy in our lives. And so the other reason you want to consider doing educational therapy over the summer is because you'll be guaranteed, most likely, to be on somebody's schedule for the fall. We all get really busy in the fall. And so being with us over the summer, the way I kind of do it is like whoever was on my schedule at the end of spring, and then I go to who came into the practice over the summer, and then it's new people, newer clients, right? Because if I've already started a relationship with somebody, that matters, right?
It definitely matters.
So there's an advantage there, and you can like have that conversation about what the fall schedule is going to look like, especially if you already know. At the end of the school year, teachers often will give you feedback on things that your student or your learner can work on over the summer. So we have this kind of guidelines, and we all know, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that it's important to, I was talking to a parent about it yesterday, actually. I think it's important to remember that you are maintaining some skills.
Yeah.
And they might look a little different on how we're maintaining them, but we're still maintaining them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, a kid that I'm seeing in math for math remediation, if there's big breaks between when I don't see her, I constantly have to revisit the ideas in order to get them to stick. And so if there's a long period of time where I don't see her, then we have to back up and I have to go back further because it hasn't stuck and I have to keep working on it. So sometimes it's just about maintaining a little bit. They're traveling a lot over the summer, so I might do a Zoom call or I might see them when they're in town, and that's okay because we're having the check-ins and being aware, because I really like to talk to the kids about being aware of what they are struggling with or what they feel like they've forgotten and need to revisit. So I think that's a really important thing. The other thing is that I've had feedback from parents that have continued with educational therapy over the summer, and they have told me that it made the transition back to school so much easier for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was for the parents, for the kid, for the teachers who didn't know the kid, but it was just an easier way to transition into the next year. And especially if it's a major transitional year, you hear us talk about this all the time. So if it's changing schools, changing between elementary and middle, middle and high school and college, all of those things are really great to use that as a jumping off point to know that mm-hmm. in the fall, it'll just make everything easier.
I couldn't agree more. I've had us really sitting and talking about this. I've had two conversations with parents about kind of what the summer plan is. I've had several conversations, but these two struck me as interesting. The first was with a parent whose child is going away to camp for a month, and then she has like a week in LA, and then they're going on vacation. And I said, I want to see her in that week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it happen in that week, which is like mid-July, let's say. And then coming back into the school year to pick it up, maybe see her a little more frequently during like the 2-3 weeks prior to school starting. And she's like, is it really worth that week in the middle of summer? And I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. What this kid is working on, she happens to be working on math. She happens to be working on mindset around math. And for her, coming back into it and having a moment where she has to
mm-hmm.
reckon mm-hmm. with the math, for lack of a better term, will continue to build our goals. If we let her just have 7 or 8 weeks where she doesn't have to deal with it, it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
And the feelings are going to be big.
Yeah.
And we're going to regress a little bit, but we're not going to go back to where we were 2 years ago, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And it's so true, because just those check-ins, it's, you know, it's just like going to get your physical, right? You have to go yes. yearly. Even if you're feeling great, you should still go check in, make yes. sure things are working properly. And then you have some more time before you have to go back.
Absolutely. And it's something that we talk about. Memory is constantly revisiting the same information over a long period of time. So it will reinforce all the wins that she had this coming year and kind of set the stage for what's going on next year. The second conversation that I had was with a family of a high school student who really needs to spend some time developing his own plan for the writing process. What works for him in pre-writing? Which, by the way, reading comprehension is included in pre-writing. What works for him in the brain dump of the first draft or the outline or getting his thoughts on, like, there's so many different strategies that we could implement for all that. And if you're interested in hearing some of our writing strategies, we will link those episodes in the show notes as well. But summer's a really beautiful time to select a book that feels interesting to the student
mm-hmm.
and to throw some spaghetti at the wall and see what works and what doesn't work without the pressure of a deadline. And this student is a rising senior. So, you know, those college essays are coming up and we might be doing some of that, which does have a deadline, but it doesn't have a looming deadline, right? Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough time in ed therapy, and summer gives us the luxury of time.
It really does.
I see students for longer periods of time sometimes, like for time and a half sessions or double sessions. There's so much that we can accomplish with ed therapy over the summer.
So, Smarties, we hope that you took something away from listening to us talk about why you should do educational therapy over the summer. And if you're a parent, hope that you and your learners can, you know, listen to episode 9 and do something together. If not, we really do encourage you to continue working with whomever you're working with over the summer. And let us know if you have any questions.
If you want to work with us, how do people work with us, Steph?
If you would like to work with me, Steph, in Redondo Beach or virtually, you can go to my website, www.myedtherapist.com. Or if you'd like to work with Rach in Beverly Hills or virtually, you can go to her website for CAP Educational Therapy Group, and it's www.capedtherapy.com.
Yes. And we both have it set up that you sign up for a phone call on our websites, and then we will call you. Somebody will call you and get that process going for you all. We both do virtual sessions, and we both have teams that are a little more specialized as well. Other educational therapists or learning specialists or content area specialists working for us and as a part of our work families. So we're ready to serve, and we're ready to partner, and we're ready to make the next school year a real joy for everybody involved.
For sure. Right? Yeah. And just have fun and learn and love learning.
And learning smarter.
Yeah. Learn smarter.
The Educational Therapy Podcast.
Amazing.
Have a great week, Smarties.
Have a great week, Smarties.